Merħba għal program Min Għajnejn Barranin fejn jiena Colin Fitz niltaqa u niddiskuti pajjiżna ma' diversi persuni ta' nazzjonalitajiet differenti li għal xi raġuni u oħra għamlu lil Malta id-dar tagħhom. Min Għajnejn Barranin fuq 103.7 Campus jiena Colin Fitz, din hija t-tielet sensiela ta' dan il-programm. Illum għandi l-pjaċir illi nitkellem ma' personalità illi artista, forsi anka smajtu biha jew rajtuha tagħmel xi wirja f'xi post jew ieħor, speċjalment filgħaxija, tħaddan it-titlu ta' The Sensational Siren of the Mediterranean. Miegħi fl-istudio għandi lil Undyne. Hello Undyne.
Hello, hello. Nitkellem ftit bil-Malti imma nipreferaw jitkellem
bl-Ingliż biex inwaslu l-messaġġ aħjar. And in fact, exactly, I will switch to English now. And Undyne, I stopped at Undyne because I know you as Undyne LaVerve, the performer. Mm-hmm. Are we allowed to say your surname or is your stage name or your total identity in public?
I mean, it's usually my total identity in public.
That's fine.
But yeah, I mean, I have a Russian surname, I have a Dutch surname, so if you want to hear them, we can
it's
we can
up to
divulge,
you.
I don't know. It's Grigorieva Volsvike.
Okay.
It's a mouthful.
It is a bit, yes. And that's a Russian and Dutch surname, double surname. One is Dutch, one is Russian.
And hopefully no one will
indeed
be able to pronounce them.
And you've been in Malta for many, many years, and you're very happy and proud to represent Malta even abroad. You promote yourself as the siren of the Mediterranean in your shows, and you're promoting Malta all the time. But you were born in Russia?
I was born in the USSR, actually,
mm-hmm,
3 weeks before the fall of the Soviet Union. I mean, I don't like to take credit for it, but, you know, no, I'm joking. But yes, it's true. The coolest thing is that my birth certificate actually says USSR.
Of course.
But when you asked me to come here, you know, I always, like, that's what I was thinking. I've been representing Malta internationally for about 12 years now, and I'm proud to do that. And that's how I feel. I feel that I identify more with Malta than any other place in the world.
But then there's the Dutch connection, which comes from your father.
Yes, there is that too.
So we can talk a bit about that as well. And you mentioned London. You spent some years in London.
So I never actually lived in Holland for a long time, in the Netherlands. I was mostly bred up between Moscow and London, yes.
Okay. So, Undyne LaVerve, we'll go back to your childhood. You were born around the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And how many years did you spend in what became eventually the Russian Federation?
So it was very back and forth because when I was young, my parents used to travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So we were never really in one place. So that's why we spent a few years in London, a few years in Moscow. And then from 1998... we would spend every summer in Malta. So it was always like more or less around. And then 20 years ago, we moved here permanently.
Does that, has that left an effect on you, not having a sort of permanent place as a child, but moving from place to place? Has it been a positive effect? Have you felt maybe that you wish that you spent a longer time in one place, like maybe some other children you used to meet over the years?
It's interesting because I'm actually very happy I had that experience now, because living in a small place like Malta is wonderful, but having all the other experiences and having seen so much of the world gives me a different outlook as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy about that. Since I came here, it's weird. It's like a new life. It's like I got to start anew. So everything that happened before feels like more of a memory than an experience.
Let's establish when you came here. So you'd come here on holiday, but then you came to live here in...
So 2005, so pretty much almost 20 years now.
Almost 20 years. Okay.
I came and started secondary school and.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So once again, let's go back in time. Your mother was Russian, mm-hmm. and your father's Dutch, mm-hmm. and they met at the time of the Soviet Union.
Yes, my mother was a journalist, so
mm.
she had access to meeting foreign people.
Because mm-hmm. it was a bit restricted in those days, the travel between the West and the East, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes, she was very lucky because she got to travel to Europe and also to the U.S. even.
Mm.
So she was very lucky to be able to travel more because she worked in the Moscow Press Agency,
oh.
which is the biggest press
of course.
Agency. So, yeah.
Indeed. And what are your childhood memories of Moscow?
Well, Moscow is beautiful. Moscow is not really Russia. You know, Moscow is like any other cosmopolitan city. It's it's big. It's beautiful. I mean, I remember things like a lot of snow.
Of course.
But I love the Russian countryside because it's just vast fields as far as the eye can see and such rich nature. And it's a beautiful country.
Have you managed to visit other parts of Russia over the years?
Not as far as I'd like to go. I'd been to St. Petersburg, but I don't really remember much. Yeah, the countryside, of course. In the summer, when we weren't here, before we started coming here, we'd go to the countryside, which is still beautiful.
And your memories of London as a child?
London was nice because we got to do a lot of cultural stuff. So my mom would take me to the park and to the museums and to all the concerts. So I remember that fondly, but obviously not as much as I'd like to remember. I was once attacked by a pigeon. I remember that very clearly. In St. James Park, yes. But apart from that...
It must have been a traumatic experience.
That's why I remember it so well, I think.
And you say that you started coming here with your family on holiday. How did your parents, what was the connection for your parents to Malta?
So my mother will hate me for saying this, but I have a brother who is 14 years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
She hates me because it gives away her age.
but they
basically sent him here to study in university.
Okay.
And that's when we first came to visit him to see what it was like. There was the Europa Hotel then in Slema.
Okay.
I don't think anyone remembers it. And we stopped there.
It sounds familiar, but
yeah,
I don't think it exists anymore.
It doesn't exist anymore. But we stopped there. And I remember we came down and we started walking in St. Julian's. And there was a little sign saying, Fresh Lampuki. And my mom said, what do you think Lampuki is? And I said, I think it's a little lamb.
Sweet.
Lampuki. Yeah, but that's what I remember from my first day in Malta. And then we liked it so much, we started visiting every summer.
Why had they sent your brother here to study?
Because they wanted to send him somewhere English-speaking.
Okay.
But they said England is more expensive and Malta has better climate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just in general, it's nicer.
Did he have a good experience here?
Yeah, he's still here. He's
okay.
Maltese now. He's got my niece is Maltese.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's very, very happy here. He's been here for like more, 27 years.
Absolutely. Yes. And so you told us your first impressions of Malta, which were quite positive. You were still quite young.
Yeah.
And you thought Lampuki were a little lamb. And so overall, you, like your parents, liked Malta and were looking forward to coming here more often.
Well, yeah, we started coming here more often. And then my parents thought maybe it's a good place to retire because a lot of people do. And then they actually sent me here in 2005 to live with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he became my legal guardian until they settled everything and they were able to move a few years later. So, yeah. So there was that transition period where I came here. And at first it was really difficult because I didn't have any friends.
Yeah.
I was alone with my brother Yeah, but I spoke English. That was I spoke English and Russian simultaneously when I was growing up. I learned both at the same time.
But Dutch, did you learn Dutch as well?
I can order ice cream.
Okay.
But I'm lactose intolerant now, so.
So better not.
Yes. But it was a difficult transition period for me because I was with my brother who I'd only met in summer.
Mm.
And my parents weren't here. And it was hard to like find friends and assimilate.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually,
2005, six, there were still. It's not like 2024 when we're recording this interview, where there's a huge amount of people from all over the world living in Malta. 2005, there were people from other countries living here, but not as much as there are today.
In fact, what happened was I went to a school and I ended up hanging out with the like other couple of foreigners that there were until I made Maltese friends later on.
Mm-hmm. Was it difficult to make friends though?
Well, I can say that in school it was a bit difficult because I was like, you know, not like all the other girls, a bit different. But then in higher secondary, I made loads of friends because there I could, it was more free than school, you know, it was a different, and you know, you're like 17, 16, 17, and you're, I don't know, I made a lot
of friends.
Yeah,
you can dress up your own clothes rather than
and
uniform. And
I started looking for like what I wanted to do in life as well. Mm-hmm. Which eventually led me to burlesque.
Yes, which is your career. This is what you do. You're a burlesque artist
so
and
I
you travel the world.
What I needed was purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And once I found my purpose, I knew who I was.
So you're 17, 18, starting to find your purpose as a teenager in Malta. And your thinking and your artistic temperament led you to burlesque.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Malta and burlesque, nowadays, it's quite an accepted form of art and entertainment and a good night out, and there's plenty of burlesque events. But 10 years ago, it was still something relatively new. 20 years ago, it was probably something frowned upon. So when you're saying the words Malta and burlesque in the same sentence, how did you end up in burlesque while living in Malta?
It was an uphill battle. But yeah, I mean, I had been doing arts and dancing and everything since I was a child because my mother would always make sure that wherever we were, I had access to like dance classes. And I did everything, horse riding, dancing, singing, acting.
Did you attend after school activities here,
so
for
here,
example?
At first, no. I used to sing in church in St. Patrick's, so that was nice. That was, and we had like singing and then practice. So I joined the Amadeus Choir for a while and I sang with them. But I didn't dance. And then I started looking and I tried hip hop. I tried belly dance. I even found some exotic dancing in a basement in Swatar.
Okay.
And then my friends told me, there's this woman from Canada who is currently in Malta, and she's giving a burlesque, like a burlesque course. Would you like to come? And I said, I don't know. And they dragged me. And I did like 1 week, 2 week, 3 weeks. And then I said, okay, I think this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I started coming to these classes, and she helped me with my first like solo performance. But then she quickly left, soon after she left Malta. And I was kind of left on my own with no guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to New York.
Okay, we'll get to New York in a second then. Let's explain what burlesque is to the people perhaps who are listening who might not know burlesque and might not have seen you perform and might not understand it.
Yeah.
It's the art of the tease, I know. That's one of the things that is used to explain burlesque, but tell us more.
I mean, saying the art of the tease, if you've never experienced it, is not enough to explain it.
Mm.
But what I would say, it's a form of performance art, mostly dance, but not always, that involves, as I say, artistic disrobing, which means removing elements of clothes while performing. And yes, it's supposed to be done in a very tongue-in-cheek kind of fun way, but still teasing and still seductive. So there's a very fine line between making it not vulgar, making it fun, and but still being kind of seductive and a little bit, sensual. I never say sexual because I think it's not. It's sensual.
There's a difference.
There is definitely,
And there are a lot of nods back to the glamorous eras of the 1930s and the 1940s and the nose art. You'd find pilots fighting in wars and then they think of their sweetheart or some glamorous not Marilyn Monroe, who were the
Greta Garbo
and
pin-ups.
Pin-ups, exactly. It's that kind of era is very influential in...
That's what happened, because burlesque came about... Well, burlesque has been around for many, many years as a form of prose. And, burlesque comes from the word burlesco, which means Italian, it's make fun of or poke at, you know.
Yes.
Something like that, satirize. So it was a form of prose, then a form of theater. And then in the late 1800s in the UK, there was a troupe, the British Blondes, and they started showing their thighs. They would dress up as men.
Oh.
And they would come out on stage and show their shapely thighs, and people started going crazy. And
the Victorian era.
Yeah, yes. They would do like comedy skits. And then they went to the US in the early 1900s.
Yes.
And then in the US, they took it, they turned it, they twisted it. And in the music halls, the girls started dancing.
Mm.
And then slowly they started disrobing. And there are many theories about how it came about. One of the theories is that they had such quick changes that one girl started getting her kit off before she actually got off stage, and the audience went so crazy that she went back and took a bit more, and then she had to do it every night because everyone started coming to see that, and then everybody kind of caught on and started doing it more and more. And that's how it came about.
And audience participation in the sense of wolf whistling, but in a tongue-in-cheek way, not sort of the type you get on a building site where, sex type of thing. That's vulgar. But we're talking about, the applause and the whistles and the screams. And it's all about a fun atmosphere, isn't it?
I kind of say it's like panto, you know? Mm. It's not a ballet. It's not opera. It's not so serious. Uh-huh. We want to hear the audience enjoying themselves. And we're doing something, you know, tongue-in-cheek, but we're taking our clothes off. So you want the audience to go, ooh, you know, because otherwise, if you're taking your clothes off in the silence, it's not as fun. The audience interacting actually gives you the idea that they're like in on the joke. They're like, ooh, you know, and you're like, yeah, and you know, and it's fun. It's the interaction of burlesque.
But it's more than just a show. It can also have elements of empowerment. And it's also not just girls anymore, is it?
I mean,
some of the shows I've seen, there's elements of drag, there's elements of, there's men doing it, there's
women
all shapes and sizes.
Everything between, all the drag queens. I mean, they're, this is the great thing about burlesque now, you know, because, they're all ages. Like, my mom does a bit of burlesque when she performs, you know, and she's in, I have a brother who's 14 years older than me, so. Yeah, I can imagine. Anything like 18 plus, you can do it. All shapes, all colors, all creeds, everything. And this is the beauty. I think that's why there is such a big empowerment thing about it, because you don't go and you're not going to see, like, maybe even the standard. You know, you're always going to see something out of the ordinary. And there's a lot of also bigger performers in burlesque. And I think people like to see that because they like to see people that they can relate to. They like to see people who are like them, or people who, you know, break that boundary and say, I have something to show and I'm going to go and do it on stage. And it is empowering.
Now, over the last 15 years or so that you've been doing burlesque and organizing it, how many average Maltese people did you attract to perform in burlesque, and how difficult was it to, I would assume at first, maybe some foreign residents, other foreigners who lived in Malta were a little bit more open to performing in burlesque, but eventually the average sort of Maltese person who might not have been used to this sort of thing earlier opened up to it as well.
Yes. So when I started, there was no burlesque at all. I was the only person kind of interested in doing it. I tried a few places here, but once they booked me to perform at quite a known club, so I'm not going to mention it, in Podgeville, and I was performing and people started looking and saying, what the hell is she doing? And kind of very confused. So then I started doing burlesque abroad in 2012 and just coming here and occasionally doing something small.
Yes.
For the people in the know. But then in 2014, I said, okay, that's it. If no one's going to do it, if I don't, I have to organize it. So I started recruiting girls to teach, to get a bit of, you know, interest, and also organizing shows from January 2015. 15, so it's almost been 10 years.
Yes, and around this time, you know, social media started as well.
Yeah.
So it became a bit easier for you to spread the word.
But back then there was nothing, you know, and I was lucky to have someone who gave me a space. But one of the girls that I taught her, we created an act, and she was performing on the night.
Maltese
girl? And on the night, yes, a Maltese girl. Mm-hmm. On the night, she got a message from her mother saying, I know where you are.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day, she called me and said, Andine, I'm sorry, I can't continue coming to classes. And this is because, and I quote, my mother is concerned about my soul.
Well, this is what I mean with my question.
I understand. And I mean, it's okay. It's
but
okay.
But I'm sure there are a lot of people who were concerned in that way.
It's okay. And there are people who said, like, oh, I'd maybe like to support you, but I'm not sure this is something I should be involved in. A lot of different comments. But yeah, then I had some Italian and, you know, with Spanish, Russian, whatever, women from all over wanted to come and learn to dance, but not so many Maltese.
Mm-hmm.
Once we started organizing shows, more and more Maltese people started coming to see it, and the interest grew, but really, it was still very difficult. And really what kind of pushed it over the edge was in 2016, Tony Sant invited me to organize the first Maltese. That's Spazio Creativo.
That's the name of the show, Maltese. Yes,
Maltese.
T-E-A-S-E, yes.
We did that. We got a Times review. And since then, it became okay. It was like people were like, oh, darling, it's in a theater, so it must be art now. You know, it must be art then. Let's go see burlesque at the theater. So, and that since then, it has been like it's skyrocketed.
You have an academy. It's what?
BAM, the Burlesque Academy of Malta.
Indeed.
Now I produce Maltese and the Maltese Burlesque Festival, which is in November.
Mm-hmm.
It's really taken off. And I think it's important that people see it in a different setting.
Yes.
People still need to see it in a theater to kind of give it credibility.
There's a fine line that perhaps people confuse it with the lab dancing, pole dancing clubs in Patcheville, which was quite a big change in the 2000s, when suddenly from bars and nightclubs you get 3/4 of Patcheville turning into lab dancing clubs.
And it didn't help that one of them was called burlesque for a while.
Oh,
remember? Because once I was at a bar and I was like, oh, I do burlesque, and this guy turned and said, oh, the gentleman's club. I was like, no, not that. There's nothing wrong with the gentleman's club.
Absolutely, we're not passing judgment anybody who works in that industry.
We support our sisters there too, but we don't do that. There's after the act, there's no contact with the audience. It's just a standalone performance art piece, and it doesn't go any further than that.
Fantastic.
We can take a photo after together if you want.
Sure. Now, we'll talk about New York, because you mentioned New York in a minute, but let's have some music.
Oh.
And I don't know whether you've thought of some song that either represents, for example, your childhood in Russia, or represents you and your world of burlesque. What music would you like us to play, one of two tracks that we have space for in our show?
So I think if we had to, it'll sound funny, but if we had to play something that reminds me of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
My mother used to take me to the opera a lot.
Okay.
And my favorite two were Carmen and Madame X, Madame Butterfly.
Yes.
So either of, like, the Madame Butterfly aria really reminds me of my time in Russia, which doesn't make any sense because it's based on Japan, but can we play that?
Yes, why not? I mean, this is Campus 103.7. We're the university station. We have classical on here as well. Russia and Moscow, it's a bit of a cliche that, you know, ballet, we associate ballet, opera, high culture, and even excellent literature with Russia.
But I chose that one because my mother started taking me to the opera when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And then they knew me there and they started letting me in. And I would sit and I would listen very, very patiently. And then at some point there was like this bang of the drums.
Yes.
And I ended up going and jumping up and everyone went, aw. That's why I remember that aria especially, because I used to really, really like it as a child. So I think maybe you're disappointed it's not like Ochichorni or something. But yeah, I think that.
So we'll have the aria from
Madame Butterfly.
Madame Butterfly. track from Puccini's Madame Butterfly, chosen by Undine LaVerve, my guest today on the program, Through International Eyes, Malta Through International Eyes, where I interview people who have come from abroad to live in Malta, Maltese people who have lived abroad, and anyone and anything in between. And we're going to talk a bit about the United States now, because you, in your early 20s, you decided to
19.
Go and you were 19. You went to New York.
Yeah. There was a love interest also in New York, but I kind of decided to, you know, hit two birds with one stone, because I said, I want to experience burlesque and learn as much as I could. And I also want to, obviously, see what that could be. So I went on my own to New York for... I went the first time I went for like 2 weeks, and then the year after I went for 3 months. Ah. And I lived in New York on my own.
Was that a big culture shock?
It was very interesting. It wasn't a culture shock because I had been to many, many big cities growing up. London, Moscow, you know.
Of course.
But it was so much bigger than life there. It was amazing. And my mom got me a fake ID, like a fake student card, because it's 21 there.
To drink and really and go into clubs.
Go into clubs. So theaters weren't a problem, but to see burlesque in clubs, I didn't get into all of them because some of them wanted a passport. Mm-hmm. But I managed to get into a lot of clubs to see burlesque, you know, in the clubs. And I saw as much as I could. I just binged on burlesque. I think I went to Broadway like twice, but I mostly went to see everything. And I saw so much, and I really kind of, it helped me identify what I wanted my style to be. Because that was my aim. I said, I don't have anyone to learn from or bounce ideas off. I don't know where I want to go with this. So I need to go and experience as much of it as I could. And I did. And it was really life-changing for me.
And eventually, when you started Maltese, you would even invite American burlesque artists as well as burlesque artists from other European countries.
All over the world.
Yeah, from all over the world to participate here. So you've kept in touch with some of the people maybe you met at that time?
Yes, yes. I got to see a lot of like the burlesque idols, you know, because there a lot of them are there. And
there's a big following. I mean, Dita Von Teese is one of the most famous
burlesque artists. I've watched Dita Von Teese live. Yes, I watched her in
Paris. She's American.
She is American, yes. But I don't know her personally, obviously.
Not yet.
But I did, like, for example, watch the guy who was the first king of burlesque.
Is that what they call it? Boylesque?
It's called boylesque.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So he was, like, the first king of now they made it MX, so it's a mixed gender title. It's unisex. But yes, he was the first king of... So I got to see him, and he's... Yeah, it was really funny. Like, one of the things I got to see is they have a troupe called Storybook Burlesque. Mm-hmm. And they do the, like, big bestsellers. And when I was there, it was, like, Christmas time-ish, or it was winter. So they did the Bible. And it was interesting. They had classical acts, they had funny acts. They had, like, an Eve who kept eating all these apples and finding apples in her costume.
I'll just stop you for a second. You came back and you've developed burlesque here, but... You're probably wary of performing something like that here still?
Yes. In fact, I had a really nice act that applied for the festival, and it's a nun act. But I knew I couldn't bring it here because I don't want to rub anyone the wrong way. And I know how important religion is to people. So I'm not going to antagonize my audience. I think it's good to push the boundaries. Mm-hmm. And we have pushed the boundaries. We've made burlesque acceptable here. But you need to know your audience. And I don't feel like it would be right to do that. Maybe not yet, maybe not ever. We'll see.
Fair enough. So the States, but you always knew you'd be coming back to Malta?
I thought about staying there. I was very tempted. But I guess I tried, but not hard enough. And then I felt like I did have some commitments I had to get back to. So I came back, and then... It so happened that I never went back, but I do hope to go again.
Okay.
It's definitely in the plans.
And meanwhile, you started to develop your personality, your persona.
Yeah.
As Undine LaVerve, the sensational Siren of the Mediterranean.
But there was something before that too.
Okay.
When I came back from New York, I didn't really know what I wanted to do still. So I decided, and I had graduated as a linguist, so I can teach English. Mm-hmm. So I went to Russia. I decided maybe I want to get in touch with my roots.
Yes.
So I went for about 5 months. I was teaching English, and on the weekends and evenings, I was dancing with a burlesque troupe there.
Oh.
Because there was already burlesque there, and I did a couple of shows, and I did a festival, and I won my first award there. I won the Queen of Applause, which is People's Choice, which is the best award you can win.
This is Moscow.
This is 2014, yes.
Okay, yes.
And that was really interesting because it gave me a very different view of burlesque, where in Moscow everyone was tall and skinny and different. And I was the short and kind of not as the others.
Curvy.
Curvy. I did have some... There was a bit of like pushback there towards that, which now it's different. Now they have all sorts of performers. Now it's changed. Mm. But back then, I guess they have a standard, you know.
But you still won that award.
But I won the People's Choice Award, which
Wonderful.
Obviously shows that their perception was wrong.
Mm.
But it was an interesting experience too. And then when I came back from there, I kind of had enough experience that I felt that I can start... teaching, I can start gathering people and I can start producing because
yes.
I was already performing internationally even between Moscow and New York. I started. So I had enough experience to do things here. I came back and I started here.
Yeah. And when did you get the Maltese cross tattoo that is so prominent on your leg?
Yes, it was just before COVID, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe during COVID, it was something like that.
And why did you get that Maltese cross? It symbolizes your love of Malta, yes?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, actually, there was a tattoo shop that wanted me to use me to promote their shop.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, what would you like to get? And I said, well, I don't know. And my mother is like, she's like, no, don't ruin your skin. I didn't tell her. And I said, I think I want a Maltese cross. And my first idea was filigree. But filigree is quite difficult to do on the skin. And she said, okay, I will draw two options.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can choose one. And when she showed me the Maltese cross with the rose inside,
yeah.
I was like, okay, that's the one. Let's do it. And it was great. It was all filmed and like they got a lot of content from that. In fact, there's a video on YouTube which kind of documents the process.
Oh.
But yeah, it was nice and I'm very happy I have it. I feel like every time I go on stage, I get to represent Malta in that way as well.
What is it about Malta that has kept you here or kept you coming back that you love?
This is the thing. I obviously tried to leave several times and then I went traveling for a while as well. But I always came back. I don't know. I just love it. I don't know. Maybe it's... Well, part of it is the lifestyle. I love the lifestyle. I am a very social person, sociable. I love going out and seeing people I know everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. I love having, you know, like I go to Valletta and I can go to so many places where I know I'll meet friends.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love the people.
The short distances help, don't they?
The short distances, the people, now the community I've built, the girls that I teach. You know, my family being here is very important to me. I love Malta so much and I feel so happy and comfortable here. And it's a really good place to go places from, you know, it's a good base.
And an offshoot of your burlesque activities as well is that you've been organizing alternative music parties, which have an element of, shall we say, torture garden or that kind of sort of... parties that are quite common in Berlin or London and in the capital cities of Europe, but which were relatively new to Malta. I believe there's a couple of organizers who organize, they're called dark goth parties for those people who like to enjoy a certain type of music and a certain type of, shall we say, adventure.
Yes, live on the edge a little bit.
Please, I don't want our listeners to think there's some sort of orgies or something.
No.
Nothing like this at all. Just...
I'll explain, because when I started performing abroad, I have different types of acts, and I have alternative acts. Mm. So I started being booked also for events that were like that. Mm-hmm. And I've always had an interest because I grew up basically in Coconut, you know.
Coconut Grove, the bar.
Coconut yes. Grove, the bar.
I used to play rock music.
Like twice, three times a week since the age of 16 till... Yeah. You know, forever. So I always had an interest in that. And being involved in those kind of parties, I realized it's a thing. Mm-hmm. And I used to actually attend parties even when I wasn't performing because I have a true interest in that. And then someone approached me 2.5 years ago. And they said, we want to do this in Malta. And we thought you were the perfect person because I already represent that scene mm-hmm. just with my pictures and with my style
yeah.
in a way. And I was like, yes, definitely. Like, I'd love to be part of it.
Yes.
And we are a three-person team right now. It started with more people, but we're a three-person team. We organize, can I say the name of the party?
Yes, yes.
We organize a party called Harshmallow.
Absolutely, which you can understand almost, you know, what the party is
yeah,
all about.
Yeah, because there's two
the
rooms. There's the harsh room where the dancing and the performance happens.
Yes.
And then there's the mellow room, which is more for like people to like play, get to know each other, talk, experience maybe some other things. Nothing crazy, nothing out, nothing too wild, but you know, like maybe, I don't know, a little bit of candle wax on the skin or something like that.
Again,
not for everyone.
Yes.
But some people might want to experience it, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it.
When the tickets are for sale, there's a whole list of rules, like, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that.
Oh, yes.
No photos allowed, that sort of thing. But again, as I'll repeat, these parties have fans all over the world.
All over the world.
And they're organized, they're safe. But again, have you had any issues because of these parties? Any blowback, any problems?
So we talked to a lot of people before we organized and we asked what is legal, what isn't, you know, obviously nudity isn't and we wouldn't want to do that anyway, but we do encourage people to dress up and feel comfortable. So that's nice. We're pretty well educated on what we can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is it's a party. You go, you dance, you watch performances. And then if you want, you have the opportunity to try something new, but it's really not something you have to do.
Okay.
But it's not.
As long as you're not wearing jeans.
Yeah, you can't go in if you're not.
No blue jeans.
No blue jeans.
It's not that kind of rock
at
party.
At least we're all black.
All black, maybe some silver, some chains,
yeah,
you know, some leather.
Now we're going to have a vampire one, which is really fun.
There you go. It's that kind of thing. It's like Halloween all year round.
Ooh.
But that's, again, that's very interesting. And I think you're one of the pioneers in Malta.
Again, yes.
For this sort of thing, which is why I think you're an interesting guest.
I normalized one thing and then I was like, ooh, this thing isn't in Malta yet. I just have this thing. Who knows?
And again, you have people from all over the world attending, including plenty of Maltese.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Maltese people like it. Sometimes I get a message like, oh, what if I see my cousin or my boss? And I say, well, if you see your boss, you can be like, oh, you're here too, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a two-way street, you
and
know?
Everybody's free and men wear makeup and it's you know, also,
yeah. Yeah, no, it's great. It's a great fun night out, like that's what I think, and that's what we want to do, you know. It's I'm all about creating entertainment, creating experiences, having people enjoy themselves when they go out. And
let's hear another track, another piece of music that represents you or represents where you come from or represents what we've been talking about, Undine La Verve.
Yes, I thought about it long and hard, and I thought it could be one of the songs that I perform to. So there are so many to choose from. But maybe let's use At Last. But it's one of my most popular acts.
It's a classic. It's a jazz standard, isn't
it? Yeah, At Last.
Yes. Ella Fitzgerald?
Yes, and it's my... right now, it's the act that I performed maybe the most around the world in most festivals because people like it.
In your sailor costume?
And no, this is my Flower of Eden. It's
oh,
when I
yes.
open up as a flower. So my sailor costume was very popular about like before I came up with that act. So I think maybe that song, just because it reminds me of all the places I've been.
Because that's what's special about the burlesque shows, the Maltese. You can have something classic like this with flowers and feathers and exotic, what you would have seen on 1960s television, you know, dancing girls in Las Vegas.
Yes.
And then the next act could be hard techno music with
Absolutely.
A very aggressive type of performance, which is totally different. And the different facets of this kind of art are very intriguing.
And yeah, in one of my first shows, I don't remember if you remember, one girl who danced to like Painted Black and different things. And
Rolling Stones,
performed
yes.
to like Rolling Stones, whatever. Like I performed to metal, we performed to metal, we performed
Indeed.
To anything. This is the great thing about burlesque. There are no rules and you can use any kind of music and you can represent everything as long as you're being respectful and safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Indeed. So let's hear At Last by Ella Fitzgerald on Campus 103.7. Minainen Baranin with me, Colin Fitz. My guest is Undine LaVerve, born in Moscow, but lived in London for a while. Her father's Dutch, has been in Malta for at least 20 years. A very interesting guest with lots of interesting points to say. An artist, a burlesque artist, but also known for various other things, as you've learned during this interview. You spoke a bit of Maltese at the beginning of the program, but you haven't felt the need to learn Maltese.
No, I've done my level one and level two Maltese as a foreign language,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's things like you have to write an essay about Darty, you know, and I can do that. And sometimes I practice like when I'm, because I use public transport a lot, when I'm on the bus, sometimes I imagine conversations in Maltese in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I try, but the problem is when I speak to Maltese people in Maltese, they answer in English.
Okay.
I live in Bormla, and for example, I go to the grocer, and he says "tadam, patat," you know, "basal," and he kind of like try, and I try to speak to him a little bit, and people around, but unfortunately, most of my interactions are in English. So
you understand Maltese, or some Maltese, though.
I understand everything.
You understand everything.
Meta yitkelem bilmot nifem.
Okay. Let's talk about maybe some literature or a poem or a book, something that represents you or represents your original home. Because the first thing you told me when you came in today is that you identify as Maltese nowadays, don't you?
But I haven't read any books in Maltese.
No problem. But I mean, maybe something Russian or...
Since I came to Malta, I've read a total of 2 books in Russian.
Mm-hmm.
But I read Master and Margarita. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to read it in the original because it's one of my favorite books.
Okay.
And I think it's very, very interesting. And it's a great book. It's about how in Soviet Russia, the devil comes to Russia because it's such a... you know, crazy place.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to do his devil's ball there. And then he wreaks havoc throughout Moscow. It's a very fun, smart, witty book. But it's also intertwined with the story of Jesus and Pontius Pilate.
Gosh.
So it's a really fascinating book. And I guess, but otherwise, I like reading dystopian novels. Mm-hmm. I like reading philosophy because I also studied philosophy and I... Mm-hmm. So yeah, I like to read that. I don't really read any modern literature right now. I'm reading Faust, Goethe.
Oh,
yeah,
deep. Let me go counter your deep statements with something frivolous: food. Your favorite Russian food as a child?
Oh,
and something you would recommend to people.
I like,
you know,
pancakes. Pancakes with caviar, with red caviar.
Ooh,
red caviar, not the black one. The black one's the expensive one.
Okay.
Yeah. So like pancakes with red caviar and borscht, the soup is fantastic. My mom
bread as well, black bread.
Yeah, I can eat black bread, and you eat it with like frozen lard. It's disgusting. or with a herring, but I do love Russian food. My mom is a great cook, and she can.
And what about Maltese food? Any favorites?
I like ftira. Mm-hmm. No, honestly, I like Maltese food. I like to cook more Italian food, but like for example, I make the stuffed arrabali, and I've learned how to make figola.
Okay, that's nice. Yes, the almonds and the marzipan.
From Roquefort, I can make.
Okay,
pretty good one.
2 quick questions to conclude. What would you change about Malta? What are the things that upset you, maybe?
We don't have enough time to talk about the things that... The overdevelopment is one of my greatest... Like, when I see all these towers coming up, I get so depressed. And I'm so happy I live in the 3 cities because we can't have towers there.
Mm-hmm.
But all these, you know, the overdevelopment, the flats, the construction, the dust. I mean, it kills me. And the lack of greenery. That's, you know, that's why I like to go to the other part of Malta that's not so, you know, overpopulated and that there's some nature. But yes, I really wish that people would kind of care more about our heritage and the landscape.
We've talked about some of the things that annoy you about Malta. But to conclude the show, once again, what makes you proud to say that you are Maltese? What are the things that you love that you hope will never change?
I really think we don't have enough time for that too, but I love everything. The people, the places, the sea. There are so many things, you know. In the morning, I cross to Valletta by ferry.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, I'm just amazed by how beautiful it is, you know. And I feel so happy. I feel like in this country, we are thriving. Really, we are, you know. And I don't know. I'm so happy here. I love it. Everything. I walk down the streets. I see the bougainvilleas. And and the people are lovely. And I'm happy of the community that I've built, that we have here. The arts community has been incredible. I'm very happy of, like, the amount of art that we can enjoy in Malta now. The amount of, like, just beautiful things, you know. Some foreigners tell me it's so boring here. I'm like, you have no idea. I've been living here for 20 years and I still find new things to discover all the time.
Mm.
You just need to, you know.
Engage.
Yes, exactly.
Indeed.
And I love it. And yeah,
Speaking of engagement, these foreigners need to check online because there's activities happening every weekend and there's always a choice of things to do, at least on the weekend, sometimes during the week. And speaking of online, your presence online, so our listeners perhaps can find out more about you.
Sure, I'm Undine Laverve. It's UNDINELAVERVE on all socials. So Instagram is probably the best one, but also Facebook. And I have my website, undinelaverve.com. But you can also check Burlesque Malta for upcoming events. We have events almost every Friday and Saturdays as well. And we have the Burlesque Festival in November and loads of events coming up. The future is bright. And you can also find Burlesque Academy of Malta if you'd like to try burlesque. Everybody is welcome, boys, girls, anyone in between, any age. I mean, preferably 18 plus. But yeah, come and watch a show. Talk to me. If you want to know more, and yeah, I'm happy to share the art of burlesque and also Harshmallow if you like something a bit more spicy.
Undine Laverve, it's been a pleasure having you on Minai Name Baranin here on Campus 103.7.
Thank you for having me, Colin.